This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Good morning, folks. Hope you are having a great Friday. It's the last day of February today, and into the big weekend of the Mardi Gras season. Started last night with watching Muses in Babylon and Chaos, and had a good time. Muses didn't end till 2 a.m. It was a rough night for folks. I fell out at about 1. I couldn't make it. Couldn't do it, Coleman. Couldn't get there. Couldn't hang. It was beyond my reach.
You get an A for effort.
I had to call it a day. I gave it the good old college try. Just could not do it. Had some friends on the very last float. I was committed early on, but as the night wore on and the delays grew, it was like, I'm out. So tapped out around 1 o'clock. Did not get to see them. Didn't see them this morning either, so I'm not sure how that's working over at the condos where we are staying for Mardi Gras. Having a good time, though. Had a great meal last night at Desi Vegas. Really had a great time. The vibe was strong. Everybody was in costume. Really good time. Got a great show lined up for you today. We're going to spend a little time talking, obviously, about Mardi Gras. A lot going on. We'll visit with Kat Kimball, photographer, owner of the Kat Kimball Photo, and creator of Jiggly Bits. Yes, chefs will have their own calendar. This is not the firefighter calendar. This is not the policeman calendar. This is not the utility line calendar. This is the Juicy Bits calendar, and we'll find out what's going on with that and who they will be premiering this year. We'll also visit with Arthur Hardy for a little while to find out, get the latest as we go into the weekend. Chef Martha Gilreath. She is the chef over at Nolita Bakery. If you have not tried one of her king cakes, you do not know what you're missing out. It is very much the style of the original McKenzie's king cake, but better. In fact, my breakfast this morning was half of a Nolita's king cake and 2 cups of coffee. And I got to tell you, it doesn't get any better than that. I'm on a sugar high, but that's okay. It's okay. It's good. I needed it this morning. We'll visit with Sheriff Joe Lapinto. We'll talk about Mardi Gras safety, some of the responsibilities that they've taken on in assisting in the city of New Orleans, because obviously Jefferson Parish doesn't have the number of parades that the city puts on each and every evening. So there is some downtime and an opportunity to collaborate just a little bit and working with one another and helping each other out, which has been very important. And at the end of the month, we always have a segment with St. Tammany, the St. Tammany Economic Show, and Chris Massengill will be with us. And we'll talk about a number of things relative to what's going on the North Shore. And at 10:30, we'll visit with Barry Kern, CEO and president of Kern Studios and Mardi Gras World. They have not stopped. They were hosting a number of different functions and events for the Super Bowl, many of which we talked about a lot during the week that we were broadcasting from Radio Row or Media Row into Convention Center. Had a great time, and we'll get a little take on what's happening for him. Obviously, big parades tonight in Dimion tomorrow night, and in Bacchus on Sunday night, the big super cruise, and then we, my group, rides in Orpheus Monday night. Looking forward to that. Went to the Den the other day. The floats are absolutely stunning. They're beautiful. They're absolutely gorgeous. It was a lot of fun. They put on a great show, a lot of great food and great drink, and just, it was my first time actually attending, so it was something that I'd not seen before, really had a good time. So there's a lot going on around the country right now. In fact, Volodymyr Zelensky is in D.C. visiting with President Trump, trying to work out this rare earth minerals deal relative to the spend that we've made over there for military purposes for them. Number of breaking stories about the possibilities of some of those monies not being appropriately spent. Or it certainly wasn't the intention of the U.S. for them to be spent in some way, shape, or form. You'll continue to hear more about that. This meeting, on the heels of meeting with Keir Starmer from the U.K., is critical because the predecessor meeting to the U.K. was with President Macron from France, each talking about a backstop, security guarantees, if we're going to work out a situation with Vladimir Putin, how is this going to look, what guarantees are we going to have. Without the guarantees, they feel very strongly that this thing will not hold together, that the Russian president will do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants. It's hard to argue that point because that's what he's done before. And history has a tendency of repeating itself, right? And unless everyone is on the same sheet of music and really just talking about the same data points that are so very important as it relates to security measures and backstop there and who's going to do what, when, and how if the agreement is violated, without all of those details, it's hard to imagine that we're ever going to reach a deal. If you listen to President Trump here lately, and when I say here lately, that might be in the last 4.5 hours, the messaging's a little bit different than what it was a week ago on this very same thing. He's mentioned security measures. He's mentioned the backstop. He's mentioned that, you know, there will be significant conversations about concessions on territory or not. He even mentioned that, you know, one goal is for them for Ukraine to keep as much as possible. You've not heard that said before, so I don't know if he's entering into phase two of his style of the art of the deal, but a lot of folks had just said, take a breath, wait, you're not going to see, he's not going to reveal exactly where he is on this position just yet. And it seems like that's happening. And I use the word seems because you never know how soon he's going to backstroke on something that he said 3 minutes ago. So you don't know until, I think, at the bitter end. I'm not a betting man, so I wouldn't lay down any bets right now. I'd wait till the bitter end to see what's going to actually happen. But I think there is a little bit of space for encouragement. And hopefully we'll go about doing this the right way so that we can maintain a relationship with our European allies, because I think that's important. And when we talked to Colonel Jeff McCausland the other day, it seemed to be one of the things that he was very concerned about is moving forward, because we don't really know all the issues that we're going to be facing a year out, 3 years out, 5 years out. There's a lot of unrest in the European Union countries right now. Significant unrest. There's a lot of economic pressures in those societies throughout and across Europe. There are countries that are fiscally tied up like a pretzel. And it's going to be very interesting to see where they will be 3 years from today. There's also a lack of desire for the richest country in the EU, Germany, to continue to put monies out and trying to save some of these other countries. And they're beginning to take a much harder stance. And you overlay that with everyone retreating and becoming more restrictive relative to immigration, and you have a boilerplate going on there. I mean, it's not good. And in energy resources that are being stretched to the max, the abandonment of nuclear in the EU, you've heard us talk with Guy Williams and so many others about some of the strategic errors that they've made in the way that they are managing energy. It becomes increasingly difficult to figure out where they're going to be financially. And of course, what we hear over and over and over again is that the Chinese continue to steal intellectual property. And folks have gone into relationships with them eyes wide open and feeling good about it, hoping to trust them, only to learn not long after engaging in that relationship that it's not going very well. And a lot of what they brought to the table, they're stealing, they're mimicking, they're copying, they're putting it in other factories that the participating countries have no business with, and they're off and running producing something outside of the arrangement with that other country, which is a problem. And they've seen it repeated over and over and over again. The only reason I'm talking about this right now, we're going to go into about 5 or 6 days here at Mardi Gras, or 5 days, where we're going to be a little bit detached from all of this. Things are moving fast. Zelensky's in Washington today and tomorrow, I believe. And I think a lot of things are going to move quickly from what is said and what is shared with those negotiations. And things, the whole complexion of this may change, and we may miss it. And there's going to be movement in the market depending on what happens here. There's going to be all kinds of different movement. Of course, we're down here doing our own thing. And it's something that we may want to pay attention to a little bit so as to figure out exactly where we are. All right, we're going to get to a break. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. This is the Big Friday. Hermes, Crew d'Etat. There's one more. What's the other one? My mind just escaped. Just lost it. Darn. I know there's another one. There's the third one. And we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states. Yes.
Welcome back, folks. We said we were going to be covering a little bit about Mardi Gras today, and who better to do that with than Barry Kern, CEO and President of Kern Studios and Mardi Gras World. Barry, welcome to the show.
Noel, good morning.
You awake, Barry? You're awake?
I've been awake a long time, and I still have my voice, but I attribute that to the fact that I have my two sons working with me that takes a lot of the load off now.
Yeah, usually by this time you have no voice.
Yeah. Well, you know, communication systems have gotten better, and I would be lying if I told you I've calmed down in my old age, because I really haven't.
You really? You just cover it up a little better, right?
Exactly. I'm just a little bit more in the down low.
Oh man! So let's talk about a couple things. This year, first year, SEER 1 rating, special event assessment rating by the federal government. Some things have changed. Your observations, has it made it easier, a little bit more complex, or otherwise?
To be honest with you, Noel, I haven't really seen a great change, with the exception of, obviously, there's a lot more assets that are on the ground, and I think we're really going to see them this weekend, right, starting tonight. Last night I saw them in Muses. Homeland Security had assets in the parade and apparently outside of the parade as well. But I think it's just more bodies and more people that are watching us, drones and personnel, and I think a lot of people that you don't see, right?
Right. And has there been a communication between you and them, or is that just pretty much they stay in their circles?
Well, look, we see them. We interact with some of their people. I mean, obviously, we're point of contact is obviously the NOPD, and they're obviously in contact with the NOPD. You know, if you see in the fronts of the parades that we do, we have our current NOPD will have their command unit, and then we'll have our command unit right behind it. And so we work very closely with the NOPD, and they're the ones that have that direct point of contact with them. But I've seen that mostly that's outside of the parades themselves, like, you know, on people watching, people being vigilant, drones, things like that, that are really, I don't think that the average parade goer, I don't think their experience, with the exception of some of the things we see on St. Charles Avenue, I don't think the parade experience is going to really change.
Yeah, I would agree. So we come out of the first weekend. Your thoughts about the first weekend and the crowds and everything?
First weekend was awesome. Great weekend. And even the parades, the rain out on Sunday, that created Tuesday night was great. Femme Fatale and the groups that were out on Tuesday night was fantastic. Wednesday night was great with Ala. And then last night, Muses, although we were behind schedule, because of the two parades in front of us.
Yeah, what happened? I heard there was a breakdown in chaos or one of them. And
so I saw two things, and I was at the beginning of the parade. And to be honest with you, we had the Today Show this morning in town promoting New Orleans and live from Mardi Gras World. So I was involved with that very early this morning. So I left, but I saw that you had a float, one of the chaos floats. It looked like it was wagon wheels, so I'm pretty sure it was a chaos float because they're the only ones that had wagon wheels last night. Obviously, from what I understand, it hit a pothole or something in the road, maybe on St. Charles, or maybe it hit one of the streetcar tracks, and basically it broke the part of the chassis system that rides underneath the float.
Right.
And that was and then there was also, I mean, that was one of the things we talked about. I also understand there was a lot of units in some of the parades that were like dancing, marching clubs. I mean, I think that one of the things that we've been talking about is how to basically make these parades more concise. I mean, it's a long night on Thursday night when you've got the parades leaving that late, and that's something that we always have to address. And look, I've had my own problems in parades, so I'm not the one that, you know, I'm not gonna pot call the kettle black. Things do happen, but I think that we need to do everything that we can as carnival organizations and crews to basically make our parades as concise and compact as we can, because three parades in a row on a Thursday night is a lot.
Yeah. We had folks on the last float of Muses, and I was saying earlier in my monologue, I gave it the best college try I could. I just couldn't hang. I had to tap out.
It was really late. They were 2 hours behind. They were 2 hours behind where they were supposed to be. They were 2 hours behind where they were supposed to be, schedule-wise, and that's something that we'll have to address, you know, with the Mayor's Mardi Gras Coordinating Committee this coming year. Again, these things do happen. Not what we want. Hopefully tonight goes a lot smoother on this, you know, a lot of parades this evening, too.
Absolutely. Barry, I wanted to ask this question of you. You know, every year Mardi Gras comes, and then immediately thereafter you start preparing for the next Mardi Gras season. How difficult is it to come up with new themes, new looks? Do you see some new technologies on the horizon? Do you see the possibility of some, I won't say significant, but some interesting changes as to how floats present themselves?
Well, you know, so that's I think that's the magic of Mardi Gras, right? I mean, the more that Mardi Gras stays the same, and obviously we have the tradition of carnival that Rex and the old line crews gave us, you know, that's obviously very, very important as the history and where we came from and how it all started. But I think also the great thing about carnival and Mardi Gras New Orleans is that it each year it changes a lot. And, you know, I think I've mentioned to you in the past, Mardi Gras today is twice as big as it was, at least for our company, twice as big as it was pre-Katrina. Mardi Gras has continued to grow. If you looked at the meteor, it's just the growth of these female crews, Femme Fatale, Iris, you know, this was the 25th anniversary of Muses yesterday. You know, they were the first crew that was, you know, ladies at night. But if you look at what's happened just in the female organizations and the size of these things and what they've become, but, you know, Endymion's twice as big today. Bacchus is almost twice as big. I mean, all these crews are much larger than they were just 20 years ago. There's a demand and an interest among people to ride, but I think that's also because of what you just said is that we continue to change up what we do and how we present it. You know, it's still a parade. It still has the bands. It still has everything that everybody loves. But the floats are changing in terms of the lighting technology, the animation. We've got floats this year, new floats, animated floats we did for the crew of Cleopatra on Friday that were frankly some of the best that we've ever done. We've got Endymion has new animated pieces, the indie figure that will be debuted tomorrow night. with specialty lighting and animation, frankly, like the work that we do for the theme parks. So, you know, as we've gotten better at what we do, and frankly, the success we've had out of town, it's allowed us to bring this same technology into Mardi Gras. And I think that all this stuff goes hand in hand. I mean, I think that, you know, people love New Orleans. New Orleans is a real place. And I just think it's who we are, what we are. And the growth is just, it defies all logic to me, to be honest with you, because obviously you know as well as a lot of the listeners, New Orleans, you know, frankly, I see us in a pretty good spot right now in terms of we've gotten crime down. We're cleaning up the French Quarter. We've got a lot of good things going for us. But it wasn't, you know, 5 years ago, I would say that things weren't exactly where we are today. And we've obviously, things are getting better. But man, the demand for membership in these organizations just continues to go.
And I think you just briefly touched on this, but I want to ask you, I am amazed by how Mardi Gras is not sensitive to what's going on in the economy, whether it's high, whether it's low. It always seems to just keep going and growing at a steady pace, no matter what the economy's doing.
Well, you know, my father told me, and obviously my dad, when he got into the business, and we're talking about, you know, with my grandfather in 1932, they literally built a float for Allah. My dad was a little boy with my grandfather. They built a float for Allah on the back of a garbage wagon. And that was during a depression, right? And then, of course, you know, Mardi Gras, my dad kind of took over from, I guess, the float builders who were before. We're our company, that's 92 years ago. But my dad always said that regardless of what was going on, people were always going to do Mardi Gras. They were going to always participate. Even if the economy was bad, it was something that they were still doing. And I guess it's just, you know, it's the way that we let our hair down and enjoy ourselves, and it's who we are. I mean, think about this. After Katrina, we were 6 months almost to the day. A lot of people wondered, how the heck could you ever have Mardi Gras? Think about having Mardi Gras after all the terrible things that happened in New Orleans. And obviously, it was the most important thing in the world that we did make it happen, because, frankly, it made everybody feel like, hey, man, I'm back home. We're back to normal. Things are getting the way it is. And, frankly, it told the rest of the world that we're open for business, because there was a lot of people who still thought there were water in the streets 6 months after Katrina. They thought New Orleans was done. So I guess the point is that Mardi Gras is just it's a cultural phenomena that's not going to be affected by economic things. I mean, it's like Christmas. You're going to have Christmas every year, so you're certainly going to have Mardi Gras.
No doubt. You guys, and for you, it's bigger than Mardi Gras. Y'all are doing events now, but taking a lot of what you do and produce in Mardi Gras and bringing it to the event world to try and create an atmosphere that's different, that's fun, that's enjoyable, and it seems to have worked marvelously.
Well, you know, this marks the 30th year at Universal Studios. Was in a position to do what they wanted to do and do Mardi Gras. What we were able to do with that parade 30 years later to now is basically create New Orleans in a theme park environment where they literally build a French Quarter. They serve New Orleans food. They have New Orleans bands that are playing every single day. And basically, I think that it gets people's interest that if they experience it down there, they want to come to New Orleans and experience it here. So I think that all in all, yeah, we've had a lot of success bringing these parades, but I think that people are celebrating. My son was telling me there was a group of people last night, friends of his in New York, that were having Mardi Gras parties. I think that Mardi Gras in New Orleans has become, I don't know, I hate to say it, mainstream, but certainly everybody knows that that Mardi Gras is a fun time, and if you want to have a good time, act like you're from New Orleans and you're in New Orleans, right?
Yeah. After all these years of doing this, are you still surprised by much of anything?
You know what? I continue to be surprised. We hit on it a few minutes ago, but the growth and the interest of people in Carnival in New Orleans and celebrating and just doing what we do, you know, this continued growth of it. And listen, I mean, we frankly are about as big as we can get relative to numbers of parades. I mean, frankly, there's a lot of people that would argue that it's gotten almost too big in terms of what we try to put on every single day. Frankly, that's why I'm trying to work with the crews on the first weekend to create the first weekend as big as the second weekend, because frankly, you know, look, we talked about Super Bowl, right? Super Bowl was a New Orleans, Mardi Gras in New Orleans is two Super Bowls for us every single year. Yeah. I mean, that's what it means to us economically. So if we could get the first weekend to take some of the pressure off of this second weekend and we could grow it equally, then we'd have these hotel rooms full, frankly, not just for this Friday through next Tuesday, but we could have them full for, heck, for a whole week. It would be incredible. So that's where I think we're gonna. I think the future lies. I don't think we can grow it. I don't think Mardi Gras can get a lot bigger. I think we can get more people to come and visit. And I think that's what we want to do. And frankly, you know, that's what I think that's the goal of the people in, you know, at New Orleans and Company and the Convention Center, to try to see what we can do to continue to grow this event. And frankly, make it a safe, fun thing for people to come and enjoy. And frankly, it's a trademark event for our city.
I know that you're like a social media mogul, right?
Yeah, I don't know anything about social media. In fact,
you're kind of like me.
I kind of have a lot of questions. And frankly, I'm not sure that social media, I'm not really sure the bit. I know there's benefits because I've seen buddies of mine. My friend Todd Graves is a master at social media, and literally, you know, he uses it to grow his business and his brand. But I don't, on a personal level, I don't understand it that well. And certainly, and frankly, I could see where it could be a bad thing, right? I don't think you need to picture yourself when you're in high school or college doing something stupid that's going to come back to you, you know, 20 years from now when you're going to get a job.
Right, exactly. No, but the point I was going to make, because you and I make fun of one another as our inability to meander through the social media.
Yes. But, yeah, I'm the worst.
The point I was going to make is, do you see any connection from the growth of Mardi Gras maybe being brought about because of social media? Because we're able to send images and pique the curiosity of so many folks around the world?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'll tell you, you talked about innovative things that we've seen in parades and done. The crew of Endymion has a float called ETV. Right. And the ETV float is Endymion TV, and they have cameras on that float that are going into the crowd. So the crowd can see themselves on the float as it goes by. And I will tell you, that float now is like a stalwart in terms of the whole world knows that float's coming, and they want to get their picture of themselves up on that float. And then, of course, they're posting it all over the world. So I think certainly social media has made the world a lot smaller. And certainly New Orleans and Mardi Gras are a very interesting background for any type of social media, because it's just everything. It's the bands, it's the food, it's the culture, it's everyone having a great time. It's just all of that comes together and creates just something that's frankly magical. And I think that is obviously, that's social media candy, right? I don't know. I mean, it seems to me that that's about as good as it gets when those people could post themselves with a giant float behind them or a bunch of beads around their neck or all their friends together. Yeah, I think it's obviously a natural. So I guess I can speak authoritatively that certainly social media has helped Mardi Gras. I feel comfortable saying that. How about that?
You're doing good there, baby. You're doing good.
Yeah, for an old guy that doesn't understand social media.
Let me ask you one more question before you go. Now I forgot it. Go figure. Oh, so this weekend, it's interesting. We've got a lot of different grand marshals and stuff. Shaq's going to be on one float. Olivia Dunn's going to be in another parade. Do you see any issues with kind of succession planning with these groups of getting the next generation of folks to take leadership positions and continue through this? Because most people that don't really see the inside of a crew don't understand how much of a business organization that it truly is and how much work it takes to produce a parade, even smaller parades, you know.
It's the work of these captains behind the scene and the lieutenants and the people that are part of these organizations is really unbelievable and phenomenal in terms of the amount of effort that these people put into it. It's a full-time job for a lot of these guys and men and women that do it. And they do a phenomenal job pulling it together. And frankly, you know, most of them it's all unpaid.
Yeah.
But I do think that obviously, like in any organization, and you're right, it is like a business. At the end of the day, you have to have youth and people coming up behind you that understand it. And I will say that the organizations that I've seen that have not done that and have not fostered the young people within the organization to take over, those are the ones that you can pretty much mark and know are not going to be successful. I mean, you have to have a cadre of people behind you that are willing to step up and to do the tremendous amount of work that it takes for these people to kind of make all this happen. And so, yeah, that's a very, very important, frankly, an unknown part of the ritual and what we do here in New Orleans is all of the people behind the scenes that it takes to run an organization. And obviously I've seen the very best to some that aren't so great, but having young people is really important. I mean, look, I thank God every day that I've got my two sons and a lot of young, and they brought a lot of young people into our organization. That doesn't demean what the people with the experience have. That just means it takes a lot of energy to keep doing this at the level that it takes to happen. Because if you think about it, we pack a lot of stuff. I don't think there's anywhere on earth that in 2 weeks does as much partying and parades and fun as happens right here in New Orleans, Louisiana. And not even Rio touches us. We are the kings of events and having a good time, and we do it better than any place else on earth.
I said to myself last night, Barry, that Newell, remember, this is a marathon. It's not a stretch. I mean, a sprint. It didn't sink in last night. I went out and set the pace, a dangerous pace to say the least.
Yeah, well, if you're already on Thursday night, if you're Thursday night, you're tired. That's what I said. That's why I had to get up early this morning. I've got to pace myself. Tomorrow's the big day. Today we're moving 232 floats around today to prepare for tomorrow. That'll all be on the street at the same time. With 140 tractors and drivers and people, and yeah, it takes a lot of energy. Like I said, I'm glad I got those young men and all the young guys and old guys, everybody that's part of the team to help make this happen.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We know you're busy. You got a lot to do, but I always like to get the background and no better person than you to do it to tell us about the ins and the outs of what goes on behind staging a Mardi Gras parade. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Neil. Appreciate it. Happy Mardi Gras to everybody.
Same to you, my friend. Barry Kern, CEO and President of Kern Studios and Mardi Gras World. We will be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Folks, you want to get out to the French Quarter. At 11:15, the crew of Bosom Buddies starts, and WWL is carrying all the Mardi Gras information on our station. It starts at St. Louis and Bourbon, and then tonight, the crew of Hermes, crew d'etat and Morpheus, and in Slidell, the crew of Celine. And if you go to WWL.com, you'll get everything you need to know, plus check out the Mardi Gras Safety Guide, which will tell you what you can and can't bring to the parades and where to find first aid stations and just general common sense safety tips. And also listen for the Arthur Hardy Parade previews every day, 6:30 and 8:30 and high noon, and our drive home at 5. He'll tell you which crews are rolling and what they're throwing and any changes along the way, all presented by LCMC Health, keeping you well on WWL. And also, you don't want to miss Paul Simon in concert. WWL has your tickets to see Paul Simon's A Quiet Celebration Tour in concert at the Sanger Theater on Friday, April 4th. That's right around the corner, folks. Or Saturday, April 5th. Go to WWL.com/contest for your chance to win a pair of tickets, but you have to register to win today. It's the final day. We'll pick a winner tonight after midnight. Celebrate the music of a lifetime with Paul Simon, courtesy of AEG Presents and WWL. And if you're looking for some Mardi Gras garb to wear, Scoot's going to be out at Logo Express out in Harvey, and they tell me he's got a huge selection of Mardi Gras clothing, a lot of which I think I saw last night. And more people wearing Mardi Gras blazers and sport coats and pants and shoes. I hadn't seen so many folks dressed up last night. It was pretty crazy, and it was a good time for sure. So remember all of that, and later on in the show, you get to do these things when it's your show. You get to bring on folks that you want to talk about. Well, I'm going to have Chef Martha Gilreath, the owner of Nolita Bakery. And I don't know if you have had her king cakes yet, but if you haven't, you're missing a treat. And we're going to talk about her recipe, what style it is. It is my favorite. I stopped by there yesterday, picked up a couple of king cakes. I will probably be back there tomorrow morning picking up some more king cakes because they're a big hit with my group as well. So, and I had probably half a king cake for breakfast this morning. So that's how I treated myself as it relates to the king cake phenomenon that goes on. Look, there's so many good king cakes. I can't say that there's any I don't like. I just happen to like this one a little bit more. All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back after top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Chris Massengill.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.